Okay, so I guess because it's also Shavuot, and I think this is this is an interesting Shavuot week, of course, because it's Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Yetzias Mitzrayim was really the start of getting out of the 49 levels of Tuma and going to the 49th level of Kedusha. And that clearly had to be done through a process of Kedusha. And the Svarim HaKadoshim write that Shovavim is a time that we are supposed to concentrate more on our Kedusha levels and how we're supposed to be connected to the Ribono Sholem. And as you know already from I guess everybody went, from Friday night's Tish, that is a very serious commitment to Kedusha, to the Ribono Sholem. And it's a serious Kedusha of saying that Hivdilonu min Atoyim, that we're different than the other nations. Ribono Sholem gave us Shmiras HaBris, Shmiras HaNayim, things that are not very typical in the world. And to codify this, if you will, I remember when there was a president of the United States who did some bad things with actually a Jewish girl, and I believe it was Friday when the report came out with what he did. And many, you could take more, many commented that when it came out, they were like, oh, it wasn't so bad. I thought it was this, that, and the other. They were just fooling around. And it's unbelievable that that has become something that is the world that we live in. It's so parrots. And in fact, this is something that Rav Palm says. Rav Palm writes, a great Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas, Pritzu today is mishtolel. It's all over the place. More than even the Dor HaMabel. Tuma is a ra'al. It is a poison for everything. Today is no longer taboo. We need more Haganah today than we've had ever in the history of the Jewish people in order for the Shechina to be part of our lives. The Rambam in Hilchos Asura Biya writes, L'fich roi lo l'adam, l'kofet yitzro, b'dabar zeh l'hargil atzma b'kedusha. We have to have extra levels of Kedusha and maybe even more gedarim, more fences around us, umachshavot ha'arot, that we have pure thoughts, lahanatzil mizeh, that we can save ourselves from this terrible avodah zarah, which we call pritzos. We have to be smart. So, and then the Rama writes, interestingly, this is in Perek Chaf Beis of Hilchos Asura Biya, Halacha Chaval, v'chein yadad l'harchik min ha'shchok, umashichurus, umidavra, that is goyreim, for Arias. Now, he's not talking about you're never allowed to laugh, but below Yishav, below Isha, Kiminhag Zeh, Goyim Latara Yisei. A person has to realize that in the world that we live in, this is our Yetzirah of the time. And we have to be Koyfif Yitzra. That's the Yetzirah of our time. So, there's a controversy that came up. It came to about 2 years ago is when El Al came out with a new policy. You can see on their website. And that is the El Al policy on changing seats. And if you've ever been on a plane, you will notice. And I have to say that one of the reasons why I fly United is so that this isn't such a problem, but it's a problem on United as well, where they've closed the cabin doors. They've asked about 18 times to sit down in your seats. And there are some people who don't sit in their seats. And I want to make it extremely clear, very, very clear, that I'm not talking about most religious people, Haredim. I'm not talking about them. There are some people who, the question is, should I be even calling them crazy, who say, I refuse to. My halacha is that I must sit next to another man. I cannot sit next to another woman. And therefore, this seat is now a poisonous seat, and I can't sit here. And they will stand on the plane, and there's bedlam because so and so forth. El Al has passed a policy that person may and should be kicked off the plane. If they refuse to sit in the seat that was assigned to them that they, quote-unquote, paid for, they're allowed to be kicked off the plane. That's what their policy is. So the question is that are they crazy? Is this a good halacha? Maybe this is something that we should strive for. Maybe as religious men that are considered modern Orthodox, maybe we also sit next to women on planes. Right? Now, obviously, we have to recognize that because of the fact most of us do not fly, you know, Air Satmar, right? Or we don't fly Air 418, if you know what I'm talking about, where everything's separate. So you can't demand of the place that you're sitting that, you know, unless you want to buy two seats. I actually know somebody who has, Baruch Hashem, a lot of money on his hands and happens to be a little bit large and in charge. And there's actually a discounted rate if you buy one and a half, one, two seats. And therefore, so nobody, it's not because of, for religious reasons. Right? He told me that's what he used to do. Baruch Hashem, he lost a lot of weight. Right? So that's the ikkar of the question here. Yes?
I read a similar Moshe Feinstein said how can one pay transportation, like light rail?
Shoot.
Or the...
So this is the only truth I'm going to quote today. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And what did Rav Moshe say according to what you think?
Since it's like not intentional touching, you just touch it to get
excellent.
You just have a goal to get somewhere, that it's fine. He's giving you a head there, so you have
right.
a goal to go to your
tshuva. So Baruch Hashem, I'm not going to be that rabbi and be like, I'm sorry, I never saw that tshuva. That is the ultimate tshuva I'll be quoting today. Rav Moshe Feinstein, we are going to ask a question, we'll see, and this of course comes up in the business world, because accidental touching happens a lot. And if you travel, it depends where you're from, but certainly, if you're from LA, I assume this is true, but certainly from New York on subways, it's impossible to go rush hour on the subway and not touch other people. It just happens. I don't know if you guys ever saw those videos, and I think it's Japan, where there's these guards who shove them into the subway, right? Forget about it. I mean, you're definitely going to be touching women. And that's where Rav Moshe was asked. And therefore, I can make a kal v'chomer. When I go on a plane, maybe once or twice there'll be an accident. Maybe. So, what is this whole policy? Why would Charedim say, you know, this is my halacha? And just to have fun, I'll share with you, let's call it, okay, two stories at least. There'll probably be more. But there are two. First one is, my sister was on the plane. She was on El Al. And she was sitting next to another woman. And this chassid comes up to her, and he's got this whole plan of how he's going to change the seats. This one's going to sit here, this one's going to sit there, da-da-da. And all he needs is my sister and this other woman to change seats. So, right. So here's what happened. First of all, I want to dedicate this year for Velvel Ben Yehuda, who's your titus today. And so here's what happens. So, this woman was a woman, she actually was from London. She was a little bit more Haredi looking. And she says, well, I really like my seat. I don't want to. But he's like, you have to. That's what he says to her. It's have to. It's my halucha. I have to. So she felt bad. She's like, okay, fine. I'll change my seat. She goes to my sister, and he says, you know, in Jewish law, he starts talking to her like, you know, conservative reform. In Jewish law, my sister's like, first of all, I'm from, and you find me right now the halacha. Show me halacha that says that. There's no halacha. You just made it up. And you know what? You're causing out. And he went, great. Whatever. He goes, oh, I see what you are. I see. He takes out his wallet. He goes, how much? How much you want? It's about money for you, right? He's like, actually, she says, I will never change my seat right now. I'll never change my seat. So she didn't, and whatever. They worked it out some other way, but not her. So then I have this great story that happened a few years ago. When I was recruiting for the yeshiva, I'm on the plane. I have the, you know, the bulkhead seat, the exit row seat, coveted seat. Yeah, that's what I thought. So I used to recruit. So it's amazing. That's why, okay, anyway. So so what happened? So it's three seats. So one side is me. The other side is this wonderful Belzer Chassid, and there's nobody in the middle, right? Coveted seat. So, no, it was the middle section. But, both. So there's nobody in the middle. And I start talking to this Belzer Chassid. What a wonderful person. We're talking, and he lives in Bnei Brak. He knows Rav Zilberstein, and I love Rav Zilberstein. And he's showing me a safer. And then we're talking and learning, and then it happens. This woman, Nebuch, who clearly, I don't know how she was able to afford a ticket on the plane, because she clearly was poor, because she didn't have a lot of clothes. And come on, that's a good joke, come on. She's not dressed very appropriately, certainly for a Belzer Chassid. And she takes the middle seat. And I'm like, oh, this is not going to go well. But she was Israeli, and she looks at the guy who was Israeli too, and he says, ah, if son of Bayapo, we're going to have a problem. And he looks at her like she's crazy. And I'm like, she's like, are you sure? He's like, no. And I'm like, I have a problem with this. I don't want her sitting next to me. And she starts to get her stuff. And right as she's about to sit down, one of the flight attendants comes. And it was it was United, but they have Israeli flight attendants. And he says, ah, yesh lanu bayapo, nachon, ani yodea, yesh. She's like, no, in bayapo, nothing. Shocking. The pilot, no. Then the head of all the flight is like always a flight attendant that's like more important than anybody else. They have like, because they think like flight attendants are actually, so they have like, special wings on their I'm the head flight attendant. And she comes over and she says to him, thank you very much for dealing with this in the appropriate way. And he's like, okay. Says to the woman, we want you to be comfortable on the flight. We have another seat for you. She's like, wow, that's great. And she looks at him and she says, I have to tell you something. This is the way that it should be done. You didn't make a big fuss. We knew exactly that you were uncomfortable with it. We got her another seat. And guess what? Now you're zchus. You're going to have a free seat for the rest of the flight next to you so you can be very comfortable. Thank you for handling it this way. So I said to this guy, this chassid, I said, I have to tell you something. In all my years flying, I never saw such a kiddush Hashem.
Would you have done that?
This is the way. Can you? I said, believe what I saw. I said, this is what a kiddush Hashem is. You handled it perfectly. And to that, the Rabbanu Shalom gave you the schus. You have a free seat next to you. And he looks at me and he says, and what did you do to get the free seat next to you? Meaning I'm sitting next also. I'm like, okay. I took out my TV and then he stopped talking to me. Okay. But that's the way that it should be handled. So I'm not saying that maybe you have a halacha, maybe you think, it's not a halacha, it's definitely a minu toiva, maybe. Fine. So you pointed out already this Rav Moshe, which I want to discuss today. So first of all, we have discussed before the Shita of the Rambam, which I want to quote again because there is a machlokes. The Rambam we had quoted already based on the Pasuk in Vayikra and Achrimos, Ish Esha Kol Seir Bisharo Lo Tekirena Lagalot Erev Ani Hashem. The Rambam says, Kol Haba Nisirei Bia Chafalav. Kol Haba Al Erva. Al Arayi Seir Chavarim. O Shechibuk V'nishuch Derech Taiva V'nena B'kir Basar Harei Ze Loka Min HaTorah. It's a Chiv Malkus. Midoraisa. The Rambam says this Pasuk isn't just talking about having relations with the woman, but even hugging her. Even kissing her. Any form of negia, that is, the clear words, of course, derech taiva, is being done for sexual reasons, is asar. And that's where we gave our retainer about handshakes. And that's where we said maybe it's not derech taiva. And we related Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's unique chiddush, if you remember, based on the Yerushalmi, just as a review, saying, excuse me, that when it came to the sota, the Kohen was allowed to put her hand, benifa, the Kohen put an end under her, and we said, but the Korban Eidah says, even a Kohen Bachir didn't have to be an old Kohen or a young Kohen. It could be anybody because Ein Yetzar and Matsur Lefi Shamatuta says. There's no Yetzahara during this time. And there's a concept like that, that it's not Derech Taiva. It's true the Ramban doesn't understand where the Rambam's coming from and says, this is only Midirabanan. But still, it's also. So Rav Moshe was asked the question, I'll say it exactly as you phrased it. B'divrei halacha. This is Rav Moshe Eben Ezer, Chelik Bey, Simon Yudalit, Bisubve. Rav Moshe used to parenthetically, he would write it out. Uba bus. So now I'm going to New York City. I'm going on the bus, or you could say the light rail. You get on the light rail, and you have a, oh my God, it's crazy what's going on in the light rail. Right? Even to the point, you can't even pay. You can't get on. I've had this before. I went Sukkot time. It was like ridiculous. So you're clearly going to be touching other people. So he says, how can you do that? They're going to work, pushing, shoving. It's ridiculous. It's impossible not to get into that situation. There's no way. What are you going to do? Jump on top of the pole and try? You can't. He named it Sadha Negiyav Dechifa Benashim. Azleka, isn't there an Isser over here? So he says, no. Deleka Shum Ishim Ishim De'ein Zeh Derech Taiva Vechiva. What are you, crazy? And by the way, the end of the truth, he says, if you are crazy, don't go on the subway. Most people don't get casually touched by a woman by mistake because, and they go, wow, that was amazing. He says that's, most people, could be 18's the age that I'm wrong. You know, go, you know, whatever. Friday night, you could, Ramo maybe disagreed with me. The chain issa negiya be'arayas, he says, even according to the Rambam, who's the strictest, who says an issa daraisa, he clearly was talking about the words I gave you, derech taiva. Even the Rambam would agree, right? We discussed about going to a doctor. We have a women doctor, and she's so that's mutter. That's what her profession is. We did say that if you are attracted to your doctor because you're 18 years old, or I said maybe I don't go to a masseuse. I go to a massage therapist. She's a therapist. It's mutter. No, that's also for sure. That's derech taiva. V'chein aser. Said would be usher, but only if it's derech taiva. And then he says something very interesting. And he said, even if you hold this rabbanon, for sure then it would be mutter. Then he brings the following machlekes. He quotes the shachim, but it's a machlekes between the shach and the beis yosef. And the case is as follows in Yoredeya, Simon Kuf Tzadik, hey. You have a situation like this. Your wife is sick. She's not dying sick. She's sick. And you have to check her heart, right? Whatever ailment she has. You want to hear her lungs to see if she has bronchitis, whatever it might be. And you're a doctor. And she married you because you're a doctor. That's really all you had going for you. And she wants you to check her. But she's a nida. We're very strict. We've spoken about this before. Right? I'm sure somebody here had the experience in Ramat Beit Shemesh when you went to Yesh or somewhere where a woman gave you back the change.
All the time.
Right? And she puts it, she won't, you're not allowed to touch. Right. So what's that based on? Right? That's based on halachas of nida. So I always like to say to her, you're not my wife. You're, you know, we don't allow passing. Right? When a woman is a nida, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to pass things. Why? There's a totally different halacha when it comes to your wife. Your wife is your wife. You love her. You're attracted to her. You've had intimate dealings with her. And therefore, 2 weeks out of the month or whatever it might be, it's very difficult. So therefore, you have to set hagdarot. You have to set fences as well so that you make sure that you don't come to anything. And therefore, when you go to the bedroom, we're going to separate the beds. You can't sleep in one bed because we want to make sure. And there are other halachas. Again, you'll, in Mirtz Hashem, when you get to that age, somebody will give you the derech. Can you, you know, you're not supposed to watch your wife undressing or even dressing. It's something that stimulates the person. We don't want anything to go wrong. So when it comes to the doctor, normally, who wouldn't want the free? There's a shayla. Comes along the shach and says, kishish mashmesh hadefek biishto nida, keva deinu derech chiba. There's no chiba, certainly chiba's bia. Shaleka aser, it's not aser. The Beis Yosef disagrees, by the way. Now, comes along the Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he says, this shach clearly is going to help us here. Because kal v'chomer, this is your wife. This is a, you got a woman on the subway you never met in your entire life. Right? And she, you know, she's going to probably rub up against you or something, or by mistake, and she's going to say sorry. You're going to say sorry. No. Kal v'chomer, if you even allow it for a wife, who we're much more concerned with, this should certainly be mutter. Uleha Rambam mutter lebalo rak b'makom sakana. The Rambam's machmir. We'll see the Beis Yosef and says no, only in shas sakana, right? Sakana mamish, right? She's he has no choice. He has to save her life. There's nobody around and she's choking. And he's like, I'm sorry, you're Anita. Sorry. By the way, where's the insurance policy? You know, you can't do that.
That's pikuach nefesh,
right? Right. It's pikuach nefesh for sure. The Rambam writes. Now the Rambam's probably lashon of sakana is probably even less than mamish pikuach nefesh. Right, my wife once had a situation, a pretty crazy situation, in camp we had a few years ago, where somebody was choking, very seriously choking, and there was an entire lunchroom of everybody there, the dining room, and the doctor was sitting next to my wife, and he was frozen, he didn't get up. Somebody said to me that they say that, you know, doctors are the worst people to do emergency care, because they're like very technical. Should I do that? I don't want to lose my license. And nobody got up. And my wife's looking around. She's like, this guy's literally dying. He's purple in his face. His wife is like crying. She's holding her baby. She doesn't know what to do. Nobody's into action. My wife right got into action and gave him a huge hug and did the Heimlich maneuver. And literally saved his life. I was really upset, by the way. I'm like, yo, what are you doing? What are you touching my wife? That's me. It happened to me with my birthday. So I was like, this is what happened on my birthday? Yeah. So, and of course, afterwards, my wife was like, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I had to touch, you know. He's like, you just saved my life. It happened to be his wife was pregnant with another baby, and then they named the baby Serena. Anyway, that's what I was saying. So, that's not true. They had a boy. Okay, so. But clearly, that's going to be mutter. Nobody's going to be like, oh, chashashnik. That's crazy. And clearly, if it was a case where it was my wife, and nobody's getting up and doing anything because everybody's frozen, and everybody, of course you're allowed to do it. Even the Rambam agrees to that. For a husband to just check her pulse or to check her heart or whatever it might be, that's not because of the isser of getting closer of negia. No, and that's an isser derabbanan. So this is important. He says there's something totally different. There's every woman in the world, and there's your wife. This is actually almost going to sound funny in a second. Says even according to the Rambam. Who's machmir like crazy, he says, that's because we have a different din with your wife called harchakos. That whole thing in Yesh, when she won't pass the money to you, that's not halacha. In their communities, in Bet, they're crazy, and they say, I don't even want to come, even possibility of maybe rubbing against her with the change, I don't want that. Okay. I respect that. Sometimes it's extreme, where like you, as you just said, I bomb a steak, we'll give them the, Ma, Ma, what are you giving me? What are you handing it to me for? Put it down. I'm like, you're not my wife. You're not, you know, I don't care if you're neither. This is mutter. Okay, so they want to be machmir. But what are we saying? When it comes to your wife, it's actually a worse situation. It's almost like you have to say to your wife, I can go on the subway with everybody else but you. I can't rub against you. That's usur. Because that's what's one of the harchakas. It's not derech taiva. There's no taiva over here. It's very interesting the way that he phrases it. And therefore, it's certainly not going to be usur if we're talking about a subway situation, v'chulu v'chulu. So, then he says, even the Beis Yosef, as I said to you before, Beis Yosef is super machmir. Even according to him, it's only an issue when it comes to your own wife. And therefore, when it comes to Kuli Alma, he says, Al Kopanim Ladina Benoshim Acheres. He goes, even if they're Ashes Ish, even if they're Nidas, even if they're, right, not Jewish, so we assume that they're certainly Nidas, Lek Oser, Shiloh B'derech Taiva, L'Kuli Alma, V'lo Shayach L'Chush, there's no chashash on a subway or a bus, b'shas alichu la'avoidah, should, even though they're pushing, they're shoving the whole thing, and you're definitely going to touch a woman, that's not considered to be asur. Right? Mechemad, she efshar lo, li'zayir derech taiva. There's no other way I get around this. This bothers me to no end. Why is the New York City, you know, where is Mayor de Blasio? We need more subways. Okay, but what am I supposed to do? Right? I don't know if you're experiencing this as much as my kids, but there's a big bus shortage in Beit Shemesh. Terrible. My son takes the bus every single morning, and he says it's ridiculous. The bus finally shows up, and let's say a bus fits 50 people on it. There's 100 and something people on the bus. Dangerous like anything besides that.
I thought they don't let you stand.
Right. No, they let you still, for sure they let you stand. Yeah. Depends what bus you're on. Some of them let you stand by the door. I'm saying, they say, you want to ride on the back of it? You know, like, they don't get... So clearly you're going to have to... So he says there's no other way of getting around it. You could be upset about it, but the Kuli Alma, he doesn't think it's a problem.
Guys, about light rail.
Right, go so on the back of her.
Yeah, like he was on roller skates.
So yeah, you always have those situations. There's a Rav Zilberstein Shiloh there, whether you have to pay. You have to pay money if you're using the thing.
Like,
you're on the back of it.
Oh, he did?
Oh, that's choshev. Mikeivan mechamashi, yeah, shalol yizayir, it's going to be a mutter. But then he writes something I wanted to point out to you. This is like, the end of the tshuva is like Shana Aleph has written all over it. Aval, however... What happens? Mistaber, shemidigia shalom mikaving. What if he's mikaving? His favorite time in the morning is at 8 o'clock when he goes on that subway and he moves over to a woman who's like, you're not pretty. No, you're pretty. Okay, let's. Says, that's clearly going to be awesome. He says if he has situations where he knows he has taibas for this, or not even then, but at night, nebuch, i.e. Friday night tish. He thinks about this woman. He thinks about touching her. He says, clearly that's derech taiva, so it's usur. There's no question. He has to be careful. Im yadua shu yavoli de hiru, yesh lo mena mea mikach. Go early in the morning. Im muchach leilech az gam kein avodoso lo, ein isur yadua. He says, because he can do it if he goes to work. It's not going to be a problem because we hope that he's going to be able to get around this situation. And I think, especially in the times that we live in, where this whole Me Too movement has become unbelievable, and everybody's been talking about, you know, Nebuch, really Nebuch. Hopefully, I would say it's only in the Gentile world, but it's certainly not, where people who were not following the laws that should be followed of common decency, and Nebuch, allegations of rape, and all these different things. And the clear response to it, as we discussed, I hope you remember, many, many weeks ago, if not months ago, is the laws of Yichud. The laws of Yichud were established in such a way that it would be impossible for a person to do anything. But even with the laws of Yichud, right? I give like this room is the perfect Yichud room. If you remember, we had different halachas. We quoted the Gemara in Kedushin and Daf Pei Aleph.
Maybe the first.
Could be. I don't remember. I'm very old. I'm very old. The handshake was a few weeks ago, right? So that was a separate one. So we said Baal HaBeir, Ein Choshem B'Shem Yichud. We gave the heter of Baal HaBeir, and even I forget to now just reminded that if the husband is in town, so the wife can be alone with the workman that's there because the husband she's scared he can come home at any time. And but we pointed out, as the Shulchan Aruch writes, however, if there is gas ruach, if there's a previous relationship there, that would be usur. Rav Moshe actually points this out. Rav Moshe writes that if it's somebody from the office that you know and you talk to all the time, and there is some sort of taiva for her, right? Some people, there's a joke, I think it's a horrible joke, oh, that's his work wife, right? Because they spend so much time together. They're always watching. It's 10 o'clock at night. The wife's like, well, who are you texting? He's like, oh, I'm texting Sprintzel at work. We're talking about tomorrow. What are we bringing for lunch? Honestly, I think that's a horrible thing. I'm being serious. You shouldn't have a work wife. That's not a good thing, unless she's a real wife. I think it's a bad thing, too, to work with your wife, but that's a different story. Not for now. But says Rav Moshe Feinstein, if there's gas ruach, if you have a relationship with her, that's bad, right? I mean, that's certainly what he's getting at when it comes to the wife. But that's a problem. So by the way, the laws of what we said about the heter of Baal HaBeir doesn't apply if I have a polygamous relationship with the person, right? My boyfriend from high school is coming over. We've been talking for months about, that's also clearly. You see, on the subway, that's also interesting. I remember years ago, mamash years ago, there was a, at the end of the year, they have different shiurim classes, lectures, whatever, to prepare you for college. So one of the classes is the real business world. This is before I was working here and then before I left. And so they asked me to sit on the panel. So I was me, Rabbi Fass was there. I don't remember who the third person was. So Rabbi Fass said something awesome. I think this is great advice. And the advice was, number one, he said, never, ever close the door to your office if there's a woman in the office. I'm not talking about, you know, this glass. Obviously, I have to have an office that's full of glass. When I hear something here in the yeshiva, it was like this. I was out to the front, though. Everybody could see me. So I could close the door if a woman was there. But never do that. And number two, he said, never, ever go on a plane, on a business trip, with a woman and sit next to her on the plane. Never sit next to a woman you know, unless it's your wife. Then maybe you shouldn't, but that's your own shtick. Right? Never sit next. Why? Because it's a very close relation. All of a sudden, you're sharing a blanket, you're watching the movie together. Great advice. Then that's not yichud. That's my point here. If we were to take this perfect thing, right? The second thing the Gemara says in Kedushin is Pesach Pesuk Lushos Aratham. So we gave the example. This room, wow, this is a perfect room. Right? You got the window. You're not going to do anything here. What if you have a guy, so he sees, you know, these windows look perfect, but they're not perfect because nobody can see who's looking here. Right? Every so often we get scared. Somebody walks in. Oh, I didn't know there's somebody here. But we're not scared, really. So what if now it's Tuesday, you bring your girlfriend, Sprintzel, because that's always my girlfriend's name, and you bring her, and you're on the corner over there. So a guy's going to look in Tuesday night to see if somebody's in here? That's a problem. Maybe it's not technically yichud. You got to take a darim, and even though it doesn't, yichud was established, it's the smartest thing ever. Any of these people, if Harvey Weinstein followed the laws of yichud, they wouldn't have a problem, wouldn't have a question. Nothing could have happened. It can't happen. Right? So therefore, we have to be exceedingly careful when it comes to these things. There's an amazing story, and I'll get to the halacha lamaisa, as they say. There's a famous, I should say a famous, there's a story told in a sefer called Ohole Yaakov. There's a footnote there about the great Gadol Hador Poseker of Shlomo Zalman Arbach. Just to frame Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Shlomo Zalman was just, you know, a Gadol who was what the term should be. He didn't belong to any political party. He didn't have controversial statements that he came out with. He was kulo halach. He had many controversial psukim, this, that. That's true. But he researched every medical thing hours and hours. He was Gadol Shebe Gadolim. He used to say that Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach was colorblind. You can walk in the way you looked, he wouldn't say a word to you, but nothing. The great Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the story told like this. Once, he had a woman sit next to him on the bus that he took regularly. Rav Shlomo Zalman would get on the bus, he would go to Bayit Vakam, he was giving a shiur, and everybody knew that when Rav Shlomo Zalman got on the bus, he had a seat next to the right and back of the bus driver, nobody sat next to him. Not even a man. He should have time to himself. I had this chus of meeting Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and this, once more privately, and that's his whole life. People were running up to him and kissing him, and that's the way life is when you're a gadol. So people avoided sitting in the second seat out of respect for the great Rav. In this instance, the bus driver noticed the situation, stopped the bus, and wanted to request that a woman sit elsewhere. She got on the bus, she saw there was a free seat, and she sat next to her, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Right? However, Rav Shlomo Zalman caught him as he was about to stop the bus and went like this, "Don't do anything." Told him to continue driving. A few stops later, Rav Shlomo Zalman got off the bus. He had not reached his destination. Some of his Talmidim followed him off the bus, and they questioned him. And they said, "What exactly happened over here?" He said he had not felt comfortable sitting next to a woman, even though it's permitted from the letter of the law. It's 100% mutter, as we just said in the halacha. On the other hand, he was embarrassed that if he would have got off at the next stop, what would have happened? She'd be like, "Oh, clearly he's getting off because I'm sitting next to him." And she would think that this would cause her to dislike from people. And thus, he decided to get off the bus a few stops later, not to embarrass her. Because now, two thrusts later, this is the Gadol Hador. This is the way a Gadol acts. So, my point is as follows. My suggestion is, it's better not to sit next to a woman. I don't like sitting next to a woman. I had a situation once where I was sitting another time in an exit row, bulkhead seat, this time perfect, window seat. And the guy gets on next to me, nice guy from Efrat. We schmooze a little bit, you know, like for like 30 seconds. And then next to him, another man sat. Well, perfect situation. Happened to be a tall man, was on a trip, one of the Christian trips. And his wife is not obviously sitting next to him. His wife is sitting in back of him. This guy in the middle felt bad. And he said, "You know, if you want to switch seats, I'll be happy if you want to sit next to your husband." And she's like, "Oh, thank you so much. Oh, you people, the chosen people, blah, 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 blah." And I was very upset. I said to him, I said, "What are you doing? I don't want to sit next to this woman." So I tried to convince her. I said, maybe it'll be more comfortable for you. Have your husband sit next to me. No, he's got long legs. Perfect. No. So she sat next to me. And it turned out to be a very uncomfortable situation because she started asking me all these questions. And she said to me, "You know, my dream, this is my first trip to Israel. I've never met a rabbi before. I always wanted to meet a rabbi. And unfortunately, I must have smirked." And she's like, "You're not a rabbi, are you? You're a rabbi? Oh, Jesus. Oh." And she's going crazy. And then she started grilling me with questions and so on and so forth. And then this is actually a little funny part. I was still working with the yeshiva then. And she said to me, "You know, I brought a lot of money." I don't know how much money. It was a lot of money to her. "I want to donate to us." I go, "Oh, we just started Lev L'Chayal." She's like, and she's taking the address down the whole thing. The only problem is like, she's bothering me. Like, you know, the courtesy, like you're nice to a person for like 10 minutes and then the plane takes off. You put your seat back. You put your earphones on. You take your TV out. I obviously don't. I took out my Gemara. And right? So I thought she would get the message. She doesn't get the message. She actually lifted my earphones. She goes, "I got one more question, Rabbi Daniel. One more question." I'm like, "Oh my God." So finally I did the best thing to do. Fake the sleep. Faked it up. I don't care. And, you know, once in a while you're like, fake the same. And then you're like, the moment I open my eyes, like, "Oh, you're up again. I gotta ask you." And then finally, after about an hour, she said, "Rabbi, you're the chosen people. And I'm going to ask you but one more question. You are the smartest people, the Talmud, the this, that, da, da, da. Why don't you believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior?" And I'm like, "Oh, Mourner's Kaddish, we're done here." I said, "I've been super nice to you. I said, I've given you the respect that you deserve, and so on and so forth, and it's wonderful you come to." And I gave her the whole speech, and I said, "But we're not having a Jesus discussion here." I said, "That's where I stop my discussions." I said, "And I'm tired, and I'm going to sleep. Thank you very much." Needless to say, the yeshiva didn't get any money from her. But it was uncomfortable because I agree. I don't want to sit next to a woman. Right? I don't think it will be. It's not halacha. I don't think it's halacha. I'm not crazy like that. Right? If somebody was to say to me, "Oh, we want to give you a better seat. Can we upgrade you?" And it happened to be next to a woman, so I probably would not upgrade. I've never had the situation. I probably wouldn't. It's uncomfortable. I don't want to sit next to her. I want to catch on. I don't need it. You know, my friend once called me. It's actually very funny. And he said to me, he whispers to me, a lot of times he'll take a picture. He goes to he's always in business class. So he takes a picture. "Oh, well, guess who's on the plane?" Right? So this was not guess who's on the plane. He called me. He's like, "Hey, what's going on? You're not going to believe he's sitting next to me." I'm like, "Why are you whispering?" He's like, "Because I don't want her to hear." I'm like, "Who is it?" He's like, "Her name is Bar Rafaeli." You know, anybody know who that is?
Isn't a singer yet?
No, you guys. Baruch Hashem, you still. These are the guys. These are the guys that. Yeah, she's an international supermodel. Israel's big top. Apparently, I heard about it. I don't know, but look, here's my screensaver. No, so I don't know. I'm kidding. So he was sitting next to her on the bike. So it was business class. So you don't really. So the funny thing is, hi, how are you, Bar? Whatever. Okay, fine. And he's like, "Oh," and she says, "Oh, meet my bodyguard." He's sitting in back of her. So he says to the bodyguard, "Oh, do you want to sit next to me? And do you want to take my seat instead? And I'll send it back to her. And he's like, no. He's like, why? He's like, because I need to protect her from people like you who might try to touch her. Like, it was very funny. So he says to me, it was the worst flight of his life. He said he kept falling asleep and having these, I don't want to say it was a dream or a nightmare, that he like accidentally, you know, went a little bit too over and touched her and he got shot, you know? So he said, I couldn't sleep. He said, I couldn't sleep the whole flight. So that's a good thing. We should have thoughts like this, saying that I don't want to fall into this situation. So it is better to avoid it. Rav Moshe clearly says it's not a problem. Again, as I said to you, casual negia of kinds that are there are certain things that we define no matter what, even if you don't think it's derech chiba, it's chiba. Tell you the story about the right? Somebody, a woman that comes up to you every day and gives you a little mini massage, that is 100% usur, right? If it's the same woman in the office who keeps touching you and it's not catch, you should say something to her. She always shakes your hand, but she's in your office. Hey, you know, I'm Orthodox. It's better not to. Don't say, well, it's the same person. They avoid those situations. That's what the Indian is over here. Yes, sir. I'll take questions now.
What about a case where it's like a very big age gap? And I don't mean like 4 or 5 years. I mean like a few decades worth of years. Like, for example, my grandmother told me the story. She flies like very frequently from Israel and back. Like, they go.
Mm-hmm.
So they were flying back around the time that Yeshiva then. So she must have been on a flight with some kid coming back, she said. And the guy, no pay or something, but he had a black hat, right? And she's in the middle seat. My grandfather's in the seat next to her by the window, and he's got the aisle seat. And he just stood there for like 15 minutes, not doing anything, and she started to put it together like, oh, now I know why he doesn't want to sit here.
Right.
So what about like that? Like, she's old enough to be his grandmother.
Right. So that's a very good question. In general, it's a good question, just about Nagia in itself. We do not define and say that it matters. I know this is going to sound funny. It is funny. But I once got a question, Baruch Hashem, as you know, everything's on WhatsApp now. So I got a question from a student in WhatsApp. And he gives me a voice note and he says, I just realized coming home that you spoke about this in Shir. I have a yichud problem. A lot of people have this problem. I come home, I just realized I have a housekeeper in my house every day. My parents go to work. What am I supposed to do? And this is the first day back. And obviously the minhag is you sleep like 24 hours. Like, what am I going to do? But the question ends with a picture. He says, but she looks like this. And she sends me a screenshot. So it's not a problem, right, Rav Hartzi? So I quickly went online and found a picture of a show called Jerry Springer. And I said, watch this show and you'll see what I mean. Everybody gets married there. You know, this one married a horse. This one married a goat. You know, like, it's a crazy show. Like, the craziest thing. It's possible. So in your case, even though halachically, I'm not thinking anything, it's not derech taiva, this guy has a chumrah that he accepts. And I respect the chumrah. But, you have to take it to a certain level, like I said. You can't be standing up in the plane when everybody tells you to, you can't do that. And, dafka, because, as my Rebbe once said to me, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, he said, you're lucky, you don't look like I look. Meaning, he meant, he says, I have a beard, I have payas, I have a hat. People know that I'm religious. They might not know. I actually started a new minhag of wearing a hat on the plane. Right? I have a hat. And you know, it's not because of what you think of. It's not because of anti-Semitism. It's a hat on the plane and it says on it, my hat says on it, I davened already. Right? I don't want anybody, no, I'm kidding. But I don't want anybody bothering me on the plane. Right? Once you're wearing a yarmulke, people start asking you questions. Yeah, I have a bissel, maybe something to eat. Maybe. Did you daven Ma'ariv? I'm like, wait, daven Ma'ariv? It's, what do you mean? It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon? You're like, I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be bothered. Right? So this is my new thing. It's not because of anti-Semitism. It's really not. I'm more comfortable that way. People don't, right? It could be a little bit anti-Semitism, but okay, right? No, it's like when you're frum, it's not even the Jew. When you're frum already, like there's an assumption already. Like I get on the plane, they go, oh. No. Whatever. But so I don't think that there's, I hear the idea, right? And I've had this discussion with people about, you know, my great aunt. Oh, my great aunt, she's, you know, 90 years old, and she doesn't know. She's half, you know, not alive anyway. You know? And I come home from yeshiva, and she gives me a kiss. Oh, it's also, don't give me a kiss. Okay, I hear the word on that. But in general, these people want to avoid it. I don't think, my point is, I don't think these people are crazy. I think they have to do it in a kavodik way, and that's what they should be all about. Their name, charedi means charad mi Hashem. I'm fear, if you're fear of God, part of fear of God. It's exactly the story of Shlomo Zalman Aruch. I don't want people to think. Remember, if you remember, Rav Chaim Berlin, the Nishmas Chaim, said the reason why you could shake a woman's hand is that the goyim shouldn't think we're mishugayim. We're crazy. This woman doesn't understand why I didn't shake her hand. She thinks because I'm not Jewish, that's why. Who knows? Oh, because she was black, that's why I didn't shake the hand of a woman. They don't know the difference. So do not mishugayim. If you work with her all the time, then you can start to have a conversation with her about it. I don't think that's crazy. Any other questions? Comments? Points that you want to get out? Good, excellent. So again, Yosef and Dilreinu, just to sum up everything, I think that we should respect that there is such a thing. You know, this whole controversy wasn't as bad in the last few years, but with the 417 bus and early the 418 bus, but the people with this going with the back, the front, and so on and so forth. I respect the fact that they don't want to sit, but you can't, it's a public bus company. As I said, you own the bus company, you know, your Muncie Trails, even though it's illegal, you're not allowed to, so on and so. Okay, I hear that a little bit more, even though there are laws, you have to follow laws. But when it comes to a plane or so on and so forth, I respect the fact, but you realize you bought one seat. If you bought two seats, shkoyach, then you get a free seat next to you. You could do that. Okay, it's not, right? It's like when they have this whole thing, it's very interesting. This is like kind of funny almost. El Al, when they put out the new screens, which we all, you know, unfortunately love. So, right? So you're watching, you know, 98 hours of it. So they got very upset because they don't want in front of them a screen. I was actually on the plane, this crazy story, with this gentleman, an older gentleman who sat next to me on the plane, bulkhead again, so a few rides before, and he was very, very chassidish. I forgot already now which chassidish, but like told us Aaron something very serious. And all of a sudden, you know, they have the screens that go on that tell you the safety video. So the first person to come on is a woman. She comes on, she goes, "Hi, this is you." And all of a sudden, I'm not exaggerating now, he starts screaming, "No, please, going crazy. And I'm like, so the lady had no idea what he was screaming, obviously. She's like, is he okay? I said, "Oh, no, no, he said he's too hot. It's too hot on the plane." You know, she's like, "Oh, don't worry about it. Soon they're going to turn the air conditioner on." So I whispered to him, I said, "I don't know how to get." So he says, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that they're going to show this the whole flight, like videos of women. Because I don't want to go, no, it's a safety video. Like you've never been." Meanwhile, he's telling me that the reason why he had the bulkhead seat is because he got the Air Canada flight was canceled, so he got on this, but he was business class. And so obviously he's been on planes before, but it was a very strange story. So, you know, you're not allowed to do that. You don't scream. You don't. We have to be kavodik. We don't want it to think that we're mishugayim. But sof dvareinu, it is a shita. It is something that we should be mechabed. The fact. Oh, so I was just saying about. I'm sorry about the El Al. So when they first came out with the screens, so they complained, and they said, "We don't want screens. We don't care. We don't want." It's, we're scared because I've been on the plane before. I'm sure you have before. You kind of go to the back and you see the few charedim there watching some movies, right? So they don't want to fall into that. They don't want to watch anything. So they said, "You know what we're going to do? We have an idea. This is crazy." The El Al, obviously, it's a business. They said the last three rows on the plane, we're going to have no screens, and that's going to be special area for charedim. What do you think they answered? "Oh, we don't want to sit in the back of the plane. That's not coveted." So that's ridiculous, okay? They're making all the arrangements for them, and still they won't. Now, they've changed it, by the way, where you could actually request to blacken your screen. Where there's no way you could turn it on. I don't know, some way. On El Al, at least. United, obviously, can. Okay. I respect the fact that it can't be at the, right? My chumras can't be your chumras. And I think that's what the bottom line becomes in all these different inyanim. So again, it is shovavim. We were let out of Mitzrayim because Hashem demanded of us kedusha, and that's what this time is about. It's about demanding kedusha and us reevaluating our lives and saying, "How am I supposed to act? How am I supposed to be?" Yes, on one hand, I'm just going to end just with a minute about this. But yes, on one hand, you could watch the Super Bowl. Hopefully, you didn't watch the halftime show because it was a wardrobe malfunction. You could watch it, right? And maybe the commercials. I watched some of the commercials. They didn't look like there was such problems, right? But bottom line is, right? We're not like they are. And we have to figure out ways, and one of the central ways is the kedusha of our interactions with the opposite sex. And that's something that you should take with you. It's important. It's going to happen in the business world all the time. And we have to set kedarim, that it doesn't come something that gets out of hand and, God forbid, goes the wrong way. And Mirza Hashem, we should live our lives, be kedusha, mitara. Have a wonderful day.